This is episode 2 of From Our iPods to Yours, Candy You Can't Eat.
It's a playlist every week of great songs to put on repeat. And there's only one place to go, from our iPods to yours.
Hello everyone again, and this is Chris.
And I'm Dave, and welcome back to another episode of From Our iPods to Yours.
Mm-hmm. We hope you enjoyed the last episode. I mean, we're really trying to get musical acts that you guys haven't heard before and trying to present them to you through this podcast. So, I mean, I hope it's working.
That's our whole purpose. Episode. We're trying to expose you to good music you may not have heard already.
Mm-hmm. And primarily our general interest has to do with indie bands, but I mean, as time goes on, we might do episodes on other bands, possibly mainstream bands. So
yeah, just because we're indie doesn't mean that we don't like mainstream. I mean, we talked about Lady Gaga and Britney in the last one, so so yeah, we have our guilty mainstream pleasures.
Yeah, I mean, we're open to any kind of music. So if you want us to check out a band, or if you're a band listening to the podcast right now and want us to feature you, then email us at fromouripods@gmail.com.
And we also have a website that you can go to try and contact us. And this is where you can subscribe to our RSS feed and hopefully an iTunes subscribe button soon. It's from our iPods to yours.blogspot.com. Mm-hmm. And I think our website looks pretty spiffy. I like our icon.
Nice little headphones lying on the banner there. And yeah, so we'd appreciate anything at this point. Please go tell your friends about the podcast, tell your online friends, tell whoever about it, because we're really trying to get out there. So,
well, yeah. Not only at this point, because we'll always appreciate what you guys have to say. I am very interested in finding out other bands that you guys might suggest to us.
Of course.
So, yes, please do email us with your thoughts on the shows, mm-hmm, and thoughts on the bands and bands you want us to check out. But today we're going to be exposing you to a band from Hustletown. We're going to be listening to Glass Candy this episode. Mm-hmm. They're from Portland, Oregon. Mm. And they're a little bit of Italo disco, a little bit of no wave, a little bit of grunge and punk.
It might not make sense to you right now, but we'll be playing some of their songs throughout the podcast, so I mean, you'll definitely see what we're talking about, so don't be too lost.
Yeah, hopefully you won't be too lost.
Because I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Glass Candy is a really confusing... Well, I mean, they're not so much confusing, but they have a lot of transitions, and they've changed a lot. So,
they've been around for a while, and, mm-hmm, and they've evolved. So it's natural that their sound has changed, and you're gonna hear that from the first song that we're going to play. It's off their first studio album, Love, 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 and the song is called The Nurses, and it's a little bit of no-wave grunge, and you can hear it and enjoy it now.
Hi, it's the best thing I ever come to know.
So, that was Nurses from Love, 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 which came out in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, what did you think of that song?
Well, certainly not what I expected, because when I started listening to Glass Candy, I listened to their newer stuff. But when I started listening to Love, 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 I was kind of like, whoa, this is a trip, because it was really grungy, and I don't know, she's a screamer, man.
Yeah, she was definitely a screamer back in the early days.
She hit some good pitches, though. I mean, it's not any kind of screaming. I mean, it's clean, nice screams. I mean,
nice screams as opposed to what other kind of screams?
That probably sounds like an oxymoron, but whatever.
Right. Well, no, I understand that. She has some melody involved with her screaming, but yeah, no, it's very no-wavy. There's like, it's so atonal, it's very rough, and it's hard to listen to, but once you start listening to it a couple of times, it starts sticking with you.
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard it, I felt it was like extremely jagged, like sharp, shattered glass, and I don't know.
Well, that's interesting that you say shattered, because when the band first started, there's two people in the band. It's a duo. There's Johnny Jewel, who does keyboards, and there's Ida No, who does vocals. And then they have like a drum machine and other sorts of things. They used to have a saxophone player back in the day too. But when they first started off, they called themselves Glass Candy and the Shattered Theater.
Very interesting. Very nice title.
Maybe the Shattered refers to that very rough aspect that they had back then.
But yeah, I mean, when she... I don't believe there's keyboards in their first album, right?
No, there's not.
It was just Johnny on guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he is very... He provides very scratchy, very, you know, raw noises. And her voice... I mean, I read some reviews online saying that, you know, she can be compared to Karen O of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs because of her... You know, she has such a, like, her scream has a lot of potential and a lot of character to it.
Well, I think she realizes that potential, and it's a very rough and raw sound that she has with her voice, but she can do some very amazing things with her voice that you'll hear later on.
Oh, yeah.
With Beatbox and Deep Gems, other albums that Glass Candy has released.
As they progress, she kind of, like, she doesn't scream as much anymore. She kind of calms it down and does other unique things with her voice.
Exactly. I mean,
because she displayed her screaming potential on Love, 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 and now she's demonstrating her singing potential in a different way.
See, I also read some other reviews of Glass Candy's music, and some people have likened Ida No to Debbie Harry.
Oh, yes. I was thinking that because on the album art cover of Love, 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 she really looks like Deborah Harry. I mean, the way that she did, you know, the way that she did her hair and her face, facial structure and her makeup and stuff. I mean, I can definitely see the comparison between the two.
Yeah, but it's no Heart of Glass. It's Glass Candy.
I know. Shattered Glass Candy.
Shattered. But yeah, so this band has been around for a while. They started off in 1996. They actually had two singles that they put out. One in 2001 called Metal Gods, and one in 2002 called Johnny, Are You Queer? And that was underneath their moniker Glass Candy and the Shattered Theater. And that was more or less along the same lines of Love, Love, Love. But in 2007, that's when Johnny Jewel and this DJ named Mike Simonetti, they started the Italians Do It Better label. And there was a marked change from this this sort of rough sound that they had back then to more of a polished, relaxed Italo disco.
Yeah, when and this change is apparent with the EP Eco Eco that they released, which we'll be playing a song for you right now. But the definite change from the rough, raw, scratchy guitar and screaming vocals definitely transitioned to a more mellow electronic beat. So, yeah. Right now, we're going to play a song for you from their EP, Eco Eco, and the song is called Eco Eco. So, enjoy. So that was Eco Eco by Glass Candy from their EP Eco Eco. So what'd you think?
It was very different from Nurses.
Extremely. Like a total 180.
It is. It's so shocking that this came from the same band, but we said a little bit earlier about Debbie Harry. Like, you can hear a little bit more of that Debbie Harry feeling with this song.
Definitely, because the song itself sounds very disco-y. I mean, I feel like this song should have been made during that time, because that time there was a lot of music that featured this sort of little dance disco beat to it.
Right. Well, this is actually a cover of a 1965 song by a group called the Dixie Cups.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be based around, like, Aboriginals in the, what is it, New Orleans region?
Mm-hmm.
And they keep on saying, like, Giacomo, Mimi, Inai, A. I don't know. But it's supposed to be some sort of, like, Native American cheer.
Do you think that that Glass Candy were influenced by the Dixie Cups?
I think they're influenced by a lot of different things, because the Dixie Cups, they were sort of disco-y, but this is a whole different level of disco-y. It's very it's very polished, and you can tell because there's a lot of those synth sounds in it. And you can hear, like, the keyboards. There's some buzzing sound that goes on with the song. And I think you said it before, there was that tin sound in the background. the constant, like, percussion in it. So it's they're not quite yet at where they are right now. They still have some of that roughness with them with this song. And the overall Eco EP, it's very much in that same vein. But
yeah,
all of the songs are like 7 minutes long.
I know. Love Machine is another example of that whole disco percussion thing that you were saying, because it's just very, very, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to describe a band like Glass Candy, because they just use so many different things and so many different instruments, and they're very experimental, and they use whatever they can get their hands on.
Yeah, it sounds like that. It sounds very experimental, like you said. It's indescribable, because they're it's not only because they're so different, but it's just the change. Like, I'm still astounded by the change from what they were before and what they're progressing to now. Because they were very grungy, and now they're very electronic here in the sound. So, yeah, I do prefer Lovin' Machine. Because, I don't know, there's something about 7 minute songs that really get my goat.
I mean, it's a nice beat to listen to if you're like, I mean, I can listen to this while doing my homework, man. Just put on some disco eco music and just write an English paper.
An English paper, that's
I mean, like, I can add like a little kick to, you know, while I write, you know.
I get that, because when I first started listening to Glass Candy, I would play it when I was doing like lab reports for university. So yeah, no, it's very, you can play it in the background. You can play it at
a club. It's a very good background track. Like, a lot of their songs are very good to listen to while you're doing something else.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be listening to it actively, because it's great music. And if you ever do get a hold of the Eco EP, you can hear other renditions that they do of those songs on there. They're a fan of instrumentals. So they also do it without, I don't know, singing. And those usually have a different spin to it, and those tend to be a little bit more relaxed.
Am I totally saying that wrong? Iko, Iko. Is that how you're supposed to say it?
I have no idea. I thought it was Iko.
I was like, Iko.
Iko.
I don't know.
Iko. Who cares? It's a good song either way. So, this is still in their transition period. And when Italians do it better, the label that they're on right now was fully established. They had an Italians Do It Better compilation, which featured numerous artists that are on that label, and Glass Candy was one of the selling points of that compilation, really. They had three songs on there. They had Computer mm-hmm. Love, Miss Broadway, which is another cover of an older song, and they had this song, Rolling Down the Hills, the Spring Demo, and you can hear it now. So that was Rolling Down the Hills by Glass Candy on the After Dark Italians Do It Better compilation, the spring demo version of that song. What did you think?
Wow, this is like one of my favorite Glass Candy songs ever. It's so sensual. I feel so turned on when I listen to this.
Yeah, it's total boner music. This was actually the first song that I ever heard by Glass Candy, and I don't know, the way that she sounds in this, she's very mellowed out.
Yes.
It's so gentle, and it's so sensual. Yeah, it is very sensual. This is a very sensual song.
And she's also like, I feel like she's falling asleep while singing.
Well, I guess...
Like, she was shot with, like, a tranquilizer, and she's all, you know, out of it or something while
rolling
she's singing
down
the song.
Hills.
It's just so...
See, you can't even decipher the lyrics with this song, because it's just so, like... It's not even about the words that she's saying. It's all about the type of sound that she's creating with her voice.
Exactly.
And the way that her voice complements the synths and the samples. You can hear a little trumpets. You can hear hand claps. It just all fits well together.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very soothing. When I listen to something like this, it calms me down. I feel like if winding down, like the day is winding down, sunset is coming, laying next to the pool or like laying wherever and just kind of relaxing. I mean, this is something that can definitely calm me down after a long day at work or something.
See, I see this song as like the perfect, you know, cool down song to listen to after you've spent like a night partying at a club.
I can see that.
And you're like with your lover.
Ugh, your lover.
And he or she is just laying you down and they play this song and you're like, ooh, yeah.
Well, when you say it like that.
This is the perfect sex song.
Definitely.
This would be on my sex song playlist.
Yes, I mean, it's overpowering. It's orgasmic.
It is orgasmic, and I think that...
I mean, but, like, that's slow. I mean, some people like it rough, but some, like, the people who do like it gentle, I mean, this is, like...
This is tantric sex.
Yeah, it's passionate.
It's passionate. It's very... It's sensual. There's no other way to describe it.
Yep.
And if you listen to the whole After Dark compilation... Everything on it. It's all very electro-y, synth-y, slow. You're not going to find a lot of fast stuff on there. And I enjoy that because the After Dark compilation is boss. That was probably my best purchase of 2007. Or 2006. Yeah, 2006. So I recommend this album to anyone. Anyone.
Mm-hmm. So, after the compilation, Glass Candy proceeded to release their second. Well, do you consider it their second CD?
Well,
I can't tell.
It could be their second CD underneath this name, Glass Candy, but it could be their first if you look at it from...
I mean, first with the new sound.
Yeah, this is definitely the first album of the new Italian disco electronic sound.
And, well, in 2007, the album that we're talking about is Beatbox. And that was just a total... I mean, it's like the polished finale of Glass Candy's journey. Like, musical journey.
They've reached their destination with this album.
Exactly.
And when it was released in 2007, it came out to much acclaim. Pitchfork, the hipster indie music review site, gave the album an 8.1, and I think it made their best new music list.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're not really that new, but...
I mean, the songs on Beatbox are extremely... I mean, you have your share of sort of fun, a little faster. I mean, not fast, but like a little, for example, Beaterific, which you'll hear soon, because that's one of the songs we're going to play,
Yeah. Is
an example of that. And as the album continues on, you just dive into this whole synth dream world. Because as the songs go on, I feel like more... more synth and electronic noises are added. What, like, by the time you get to Digital Versicolor, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, where the hell am I, you know?
It is a mind fuck.
That
is what it is, because it takes you on a journey, a drug-induced journey. You're going to go through slow songs like Candy Castle, and you're going to go through fast songs like Beatific, and then you're going to have that chill, cool-down song, Digital Versicolor. Mm-hmm. So the song that we're going to play next, we're going to play the more faster song.
We're actually going to play two songs right now.
Oh, yes.
Back to back.
Twin spin coming at you. We're going to play the fast song first, which is Beatific. And that's going to be followed by...
Oh my god, it's Beatific? I said Beaterific. I'm so sorry. Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, Beatific. It's because it has the boss beats. So you're going to hear Beatific first, and then you're going to hear Candy Castle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so enjoy!
Thank you. is just what kind does box the line. Poison or remedy?
So what you just heard was Candy Castle by Glass Candy on the album Beatbox. And before you heard Beatific, which is also from the Beatbox album. So what did you think of those songs, Chris?
Wow, again. They're total mindfucks, in my opinion. They're just so... I mean, Beatific is very... very... I love the piano. That constant piano. Dun, dun. I mean, it's nice. I love the steady rhythm. Mm. And then there's, like, this one part where, like, the bass stops, and it's like, dun, 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 dun. Sorry, that probably makes no sense, but...
No, I get it. I get it. And if the listeners don't get it, they can just go back and listen to the song again.
Like the end. I really like when Ida No talks. I like it when she talks.
She does a lot of the talking thing. And I think that's a throwback to her screaming. She's not screaming, she's just talking.
And I like that. I mean, at the very end of Beatific, she's like, DJ, turn it up. That's better. I mean, she just sounds... I mean, when you hear Ida No speak, you just get this feeling inside. It's like, yeah, turn on that beat. But yeah, I really, really like that song. It's one of my favorites off the album.
One of my favorites off the album is Candy Castle. It's the horns. It's the... because you hear the that part. That part just nails me because I don't know. There's something about that that I really like. And then it goes on, and it sounds very mystical. She's like, let's take off our masks and be so natural. I don't know.
This song is very, like you said, mystical. When I look at this song and it says, oh, well, this is called Candy Castle. I mean, it definitely feels very majestic and very fantasy-like. I mean... the percussions that they add, I mean, Glass Candy uses percussions to their advantage. They use them. And I'm glad, because some bands don't use percussions, you know, to their full potential. And Glass Candy does. So I'm really glad that this song demonstrated a lot of the horns and just in general... percussions. I mean,
and to your point about it being majestic and the castle theme, like, the horns feel like they're a fanfare.
Yeah,
they're really announcing something in this song, and it just sounds, it sounds great. And it's not as fast as some of the other songs on the album, like,
but it's a good beat though,
right? Like Beatific, that's very beat filled. It's faster, but Candy Castle, it's a little bit slower, but it does have that air of majesty when you listen to it.
Yeah, and even one of the lyrics that she says, she says something about break the spell, you know?
Yeah. She says, let's be ourselves, let's break this evil spell.
So when I listen to that, it's like, oh, I imagine like someone trapped inside the castle or something.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's a definitely visual song.
It is very visual.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also some other stuff on that album, like the intro song that they played.
Oh, my God. That is a trip. That is seriously... I listen to that and I'm like, what is this, like a pregnancy class or something? Like, where women come and learn how to give birth or something? What to expect? I don't know.
For those of you who have not downloaded the album yet, which you all should, in the beginning, I Don't Know introduces the album by saying, rhythm is the beat of our life, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes on to, come on, ladies, let's work it. And let's push it. And I don't know. I thought that it was a workout class, but I can also see it being a Lamaze class too.
Like at the very end, she's like, "And what if she says something about, like, and what do you all remember? Or what do you say to that? And then everyone's like, DJ, hit it.
Yeah, turn it up or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
it's a very interesting way of introducing the album.
Yeah, and especially with that whole explosive, you know, with all the ladies saying, you know, hit it, DJ. I mean, it's like, bam, Beatific starts, and that starts the whole beatbox journey.
Exactly. See, I like that they say, come on, DJ, turn it up, and they go right into Beatific. And then you go it's good placement, I guess. And it really does start off the journey, but we're going to take a listen to another song from that album,
because Beatbox is just one of the most amazing CDs ever, so we just have to play another song.
Seriously, guys, go find a copy of this album somewhere. You need it. You need to add it to your collection, because it's seminal work by Glass.
It is. The song that you're actually going to listen to right now is called Life After Sunset, and it's another one of my favorites, so enjoy. Thank you.
And that was Life After Sundown by Glass Candy on the album Beatbox. Mm-hmm. So you said that that's one of your favorite songs. Why is that?
Because it's a very hypnotic song. It's a very hypnotic beat. You know, you have Beatific, which is, you know, you start on that dance-like beat, and then you get to Candy Castle, which is that more majestical beat, and then you get to the hypnotic beat. I mean, when I listen to the song, it really feels like, you know, the sun has set, it's time for a new chapter of the day.
Right.
The night. And that's what it feels like when I listen to it. And then the lyrics are, I love the melody. The melody is really what brings the song, well, not, it's not the only thing that brings the song together, but it's a very, it really adds to it.
Yeah, the melody is very interesting here, because it's not entirely tonal, because mm-hmm. there are some points where it's like, okay, that's an interesting chord choice, but it really does come together. And then I like the lyrics. You really have to try and understand the lyrics, because, I don't know, sometimes you don't quite understand everything she's saying. But she's trying to say, she's trying to say something. And she's in this song, she's like, the only light that's shining is the street lights. And it really starts to set a picture for you.
Yeah.
Beatbox overall is a very visual album, in addition to being a very oral album.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, with that lyric about the street light is the only light. I mean, the sun is gone. The only thing that's left to light up, you know, the day is the light. So, I mean, it definitely paints a picture, like you said, of the upcoming night and the adventures that will come with it.
With the bad boys and sad girls.
Yeah.
What are you going to do when they come for us?
I mean, that's like the best part of that song is when, you know, she says that lyric. Because I really, really enjoy that lyric, especially at the end where it fades out and she's like, bad boy, sad girl. She's like fading out and she's like still continuing. I mean, I don't know. It's very hypnotic, very night, very, very.
See, this is a good mix, though, of that sort of roughness that she has in her voice when she addresses people. Because it's not a soft and gentle voice that she's using. It sounds very, I don't want to say mournful, but it sounds full of emotion. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that carries through from way back from Love, Love, Love to Beatbox. And you can hear it specifically in this song.
Definitely.
So, yeah. So, after Beatbox, the next album that they came out with was in 2008. Which is not really a true album. It was really more of a compilation of B-sides and other songs that they haven't released over the years. It was called Deep Gems.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually featured in Spin Magazine when they released that. And Spin Magazine said that they were an eccentric Portland pair that spook the dance floor.
I can really see that, though. Spook. Like, I think that's a perfect word, because they aren't
not
a happy electro band. They are very ghostly and very, they're on the darker side of electro.
Ghost candy? Yes, no, I really like the word that they use there in Spin. Spook is a really good way of describing them, because it's not the typical kind of dance songs that you would hear, but yet you can still dance to it. They're all very dancey songs, but mm-hmm. they're sort of more dramatic in the way that they're delivered. I mean, you have Candy Castle, which is very majestic, and then you have Life After Sundown, which is also very dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the drama just continues as the album goes on. I mean, you get to Computer Love, and that's just, I mean, that sounds like, I mean, it's a dramatic song. They use dramatic noises. I mean, the way that they utilize their synth is in a very dramatic manner. And I mean, it just, the epitome, the epic part of the album is when it finally gets to Digital Versicolor, which is like the finale.
Right.
So,
and when you start listening to Deep Gems, so it starts to become more of an experimentation on that dramatic sound, because a lot of the songs on Deep Gems are remixes of songs mm-hmm. from Beatbox.
It's taking Beatbox and putting their own another spin on it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is another way we could have done Beatbox, and they're presenting it like that.
Yeah, so. Like, there's a song on there called Poison or Remedy, which is mm-hmm. just basically a rendition of Beatific, but a little bit more stripped down.
I mean, I really like that remix, though. I mean, I think you can hear her vocals more clearly, but I mean, it has its own unique beat to it. Not the Beatific beat, but its own beat, another one. Like, enough to that it can become a whole different new song on its own.
It does feel like a different song. But the song that we're going to listen to is Feeling Without Touching. And take a listen now and enjoy. That was Feeling Without Touching by Glass Candy from the compilation album Deep Gems. Mm-hmm. So, what did you think of that song?
Very different. It's definitely more upbeat, more happy. I mean, when I say happy, it sounds like a more dancey song. I mean, I can picture myself in a club dancing to this song. And her vocals are totally... She changed it up. I mean, yes, it's your I don't know voice. But on her other songs, she adds like this echoey thing when she sings. But she sounds a lot clearer, and I think it complements the song. And the way that she sings the melody, like there's this part where she's like, my world is zipped up. Like, She like she's more high pitched.
She's perkier in this song, I feel.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, because beatbox, that's a mindfuck drug-induced album. But when you hear Feeling Without Touching, it's very perky, and she's like, my crown is tipped up, my world is zipped up tight. So it's very clear, too, the way that she sings. I mean, you have problems trying to decipher the lyrics in beatbox, whereas with this song, you can tell every word that she's saying. But I really enjoy this song. It's one of their shorter songs on the album, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't a remix of any of their previous songs. It just has some happy, perky feel to it that I think is cute.
Yeah, I mean, another song off Deep Gems, I mean, it's a remix of one of their beatbox songs, but the song Ghetto Boys, which I believe is a remix of...
Aiko.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
It's a remix of Aiko from the EP, Aiko Aiko, which you've heard the original of.
I mean, the whole album is just, like, a whole treat of... I mean, it's a creative piece because they're using other creative means to present these songs. So I really like the way that they did that. I mean, and it's cool that they give the song that they changed the song so much
that they had to retitle some of them.
Exactly.
It's not a remix. There's no, you know, brackets, Deep Gems remix. They changed Beatific to Poison or Remedy.
And they changed Digital Versicolor to Stars and Houses.
I really enjoy Stars and Houses.
Me too. I mean, it's
and
very
it's very different. It's different, but it still captures some of that ethereal quality that Digital Versicolor had. And there's another song on there that I really like, which is Animal Imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a remix of that also on the same album called Animal, no, soft boundaries. So soft boundaries is a mirror to Animal Imagination.
And I think it's funny that they have the original song on the album, and then as the album progresses, it's a, you know, they post the remix. But then again, it's not really an album; it's a collection.
Exactly.
So I mean, I guess you can't really look at it as a. A, you know, a whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, but there is an introduction, though.
It's like a phone call introduction. Like, she's a telephone operator. I Don't Know introduces it. Your call to Glass Candy. Or something. But, yeah, no, they use the same format that they had in Beatbox, but I don't think that you can judge this as an actual album. You really do need to look at it as a compilation. This is not their next step with what they're going with.
This is just, you know, a little gift to Glass Candy's faithful listeners, you know?
Exactly.
So that's nice of them.
So yeah. So we're gonna be waiting for a while until we actually hear about a new album. Apparently they have been in the studio every possible moment working on a new LP for 2009. So
that's amazing.
So hopefully we'll get something by the end of this year, in time for Christmas. Chris, you know what you're getting me for Christmas, right?
I got it right in my head.
Okay. But, yeah, I'm excited to hear whatever they're coming out with next.
I mean, I'm definitely also excited to hear where they're going to go next, where they're going to take their sound. I mean, I'm looking forward, I mean, to maybe making their new album, like, Feeling Without Touching, make it more perky and more, you know, dancey and stuff. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure whatever direction that they decide to take will be the correct direction because they know what they're doing.
They do have a good grasp on everything that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm very excited for where they're going to be taking their music. And speaking of taking their music, they have a slew of tour dates in the fall season. Starting with the 12th of August, they're going to be at Metro in Chicago. Then on the 15th, they're going to be at Homo A Go Go in San Francisco. Yeah, that's a fun name. And on the 31st of August, they're going to be in Las Vegas, and they're going to be performing with label mates Desire, another awesome band from Italians Do It Better. On the 4th of September, they'll be in San Diego, also with Desire. On the 5th of September, they'll be in Los Angeles, performing as part of the FYF Fest.
And, you know, just to let you guys know, the FYF Fest is a festival that is promoting to save, I think California, or maybe everywhere, like parks. They're trying to save parks, and it's basically a bunch of artists coming together. Glass Candy is not the only people who will perform there. Crystal Antlers will perform there. Ninja Sonic will perform there. A bunch of bands will perform there.
No Wage is going to be there. Lightning Bolt. So if you're familiar with those bands, it's probably worth your while to go check it out. It's pretty cheap, too.
And it's also, like he said, it's $20. It's cheap. It's affordable. It's not freaking $99.
This is
for
why
a Britney Spears ticket. I mean,
this is why indie music is the best, because it's so cheap. I love that I love the fact that concerts are so cheap.
So yeah, definitely I'm going to try to go there because I live near LA, so I'm going to try my best to make it. So, hope I see you at the FYF Fest.
And that does not stop their touring endeavors. They're going to be in Miami on September 11th, in New York City on September 12th. I guess they don't have locations set yet for those shows. In Toronto, they'll be there October 1st with Desire and Cosmo Vitelli, also label mates from Italians Do It Better. I will be at that show. And they'll be in Montreal the day after, October 2nd, with the same people, and in Quebec City on the 3rd of October. And then I think this is a fake one that they have here, because I got this off their MySpace page. They're going to be in Mars, at the Ballroom of Mars, on the 31st of May 2010. Yeah.
But look at that, the date, 12:15. In the morning.
12:15 in the morning. So, I don't know. Go to Mars. Find out. And that brings us to the end of another episode. So,
aww.
I know, tears, but we had a fun time listening to all of these songs, and we hope that you liked Glass Candy, too. And if you're really interested, you can go check them out at their MySpace page, which is myspace.com/glasscandy. And you should also check out the Italians Do It Better blog, which is vivaitalians.blogspot.com.
And if you'd like to leave us a comment or send us something, whatever, you can go to our website, from our iPods to yours.blogspot.com. And if you would like to email us with anything, any bands that you'd like to recommend, any bands you'd like us to feature, if you're a band, you want to be featured, whatever, email us at fromouripods@gmail.com.
Yep. Tell us what you think about the episodes, if you have any corrections, heaven forbid. But, yeah, definitely. Let us know. Email us. We'll definitely reply back. Mm-hmm. And for the next episode.
Next episode, we're going to introduce to you a band from Sacramento. It's this very strange cabaret circus-like band called Agent Ribbons. So that'll be exciting. So please stay tuned for the next episode.
I'm excited to listen.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of From Our iPods to Yours. I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
Bye.
Bye.